Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, and Joe, we've got our buddy back. Marquise Munson back in the saddle today. The terrific trio back in action. It feels good. Munson, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. You're usually supposed to ask Joe how he's doing first.
I did that
I'm just behind the scenes. I'm just a guy here.
Not today.
Pushing the buttons.
You're here from the beach, so we want to know how you're doing because we're jealous. And that's beautiful that you got away and got a little bit of a break from all this stuff. And now you're back so we can all root against sports.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Sports is canceled, everybody, and we want it to happen. Yeah, that's exactly what our vibe is right now.
We're going to do the wave. Anti-sports, the wave in the studio.
We've already done it, actually. Did 5 minutes for the show.
Absolutely. But, look, I've enjoyed myself. I needed a little R&R. Had a couple cigars. To put my feet in the sand. I smoke cigars on vacation. It's very refreshing. Like, have a glass of whiskey. You stir it up a little bit on ice, and then all of a sudden you're smoking your cigar. So, I mean, it was a good time. I was glad to just get out, you know. Obviously, with distance and with mask, and I wasn't at bars, especially packed bars. I still did it responsibly. Always vacation responsibly, and then I think that was the main thing. So, it was fun. I'm glad to be back. I'm a little burnt, and it hurts, but hey, I'm back.
You know, when I vacation, I typically try to stay away from people anyway. So this is like right up my alley in terms of going somewhere and leaving people alone. I'm really good at that. It's one of my greatest skills, actually.
Yeah, this is not – I mean, we've done, like, the Disney thing. Ooh, man.
That's hard to do there.
And now it's like, yeah, you want nothing to do with that. But really, like, I generally want nothing to do with that. You know, like a one-time thing. And a little bit of distance is good. Ocean is good. Cigars, like good cigars?
Well, I mean, you know, well, I had a budget.
Like, man, Cubans? So, you know?
It was about $10 cigars. But
okay. That's not bad.
Hey,
yeah.
They still puff the same.
Yeah.
The smoke still looks the same as it leaves my mouth. It still looks the same. Still feels the same because it still feels relaxing. But it was, you know, I do it cheap. I think the most expensive cigar I probably ever bought was like $20. 20, maybe $30. I'm a cheapo.
No,
I mean,
cigars, for some reason, I don't know. I can't really do them. Like, they sort of.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I've had, like, one really good one, and I was like, yeah, it's just like a White Owl. Like, my dad used to smoke White Owl cigars.
Yeah.
Like, all day. Like, really, you know, like, real cheap cigars.
Yeah, man, I got to save my money to subscribe for The Athletic, man. So,
yeah,
you know.
That's right.
That's why I can't buy expensive cigars. I'm sorry, Joe.
40% off
right
now.
You should have heard, Joe Rexroad self-promotion 2-hour block that we threw out there yesterday. It was unbelievable.
It was good.
He came back in style.
My Titans 53-man roster is up, you know, today's opening day.
See, here he goes again.
I mean, you know, if you want to check that out. Hey.
If you want to check that out, Adam Vingan, I'm pretty sure he's got some stuff dropping today as well. So go check out The Athletic. You know, Joe, there you go. I gave you a plug for you.
Hey, we've got some interesting Marlins stuff up there.
You got to give Munson a T-shirt now. All those Athletic T-shirts are passing around.
Because mine is getting worn out. Because I got that T-shirt when you guys first started.
You did?
So, yes.
I didn't realize you had one. Yeah. You never wear it, man.
I wear it all the time. I wore it, like, I work out in him now. Because it's
workout shirt.
Tight.
Okay. It's devolved into one of those.
No, it's because it's tight and it makes my muscles look huge when I look in the mirror.
Yeah.
It makes me look like I'm actually having some progress, even though I'm not. But it makes it look like it because that shirt's so tight. I'm just like, look at this. I can rip this shirt flexing like the Incredible Hulk. This shirt is tight.
So you got a shirt with your subscription?
Yeah.
Okay.
With my subscription. And I got it at the beginning of when you guys started. I didn't just do it for the free T-shirt.
Like 2016 you subscribed?
Yeah.
Wow.
You should
get an annual piece of clothing for
that. I should. I'm a journalism major. So it's like, you know, I follow good journalism. You support good journalism. Isn't that what we're always taught? Is to support local, especially local.
Correct.
And to support journalism altogether. So, you know, I do that. Except when they try to cancel sports. And then I tune out after that.
You subscribed at, before I did. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
I think I subscribed in like 2017. Not too
far,
which
after
is, which
the
is yeah. pretty that's early. Fine. Still yeah. pretty early, but yeah.
I think it's right around when I did too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I hate that today I'm looking in the studio because today I was going to wear my NBA Jams, my Gary Payton and Sean Kemp shirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, I'm just going to go generic. And then I see like a Mighty Ducks t-shirt from Robbie, and I see a Beastie Boys Check Your Head t-shirt from Joe Rexroad. Now I feel left out.
Well, you should have known.
That I'm wearing a plain t-shirt. But I'm coming back from vacation. I was just like, man, look, I'm going to throw something on today. And just
I mean, honestly, look, that's what I did too, you know. But yeah. it is kind of a cool statement.
I will say that yesterday, Joe wore a shirt that had like two country music artists on it.
That's right.
It was total breakthrough.
Really?
Yeah.
I wore a shirt with country music artists, and Elijah played classic hip-hop songs to see if Robbie could nail them on the first few notes. And he did. What'd you end up?
Like it was
two
like
for
two,
seven, I think?
Yeah. That is better than that, wasn't it?
Was it? Two for, or three for?
Three for eight, three for something eight, like that.
Maybe?
Yeah, three yeah, for eight.
Not bad.
That's going to be a segment we do. We test Robbie's music skills when it comes to old school hip hop.
I mean, he threw out some jizza in there, which is like, that's like
that's
expert
like,
level.
Well,
I mean, that's,
was it shadow boxing? Because like
it wasn't
that,
even shadow boxing. It was the first so, crack off Liquid Swords. Yeah, I was like, wow, yeah, Elijah, that's tough.
That's
man.
A deep cut for a lot of people. You can't hit,
no
you can't hit Robbie with
no.
that. You got to start Robbie off small, like, you know, some De La Soul, Me, Myself, and I.
Yeah,
and
I knew that.
And maybe something like, you know, you got to.
Crisscross.
Yeah, I knew Crisscross.
Joe, I saw this weekend, I was offended because, like, so we're talking about 90s music because we played Power Hour, which, you know, they play 90s music. They play like an hour of music. You got to drink every time the song changes, and it's usually every minute. So,
wow,
we're playing
that could be dangerous.
Yeah, that is dangerous. It is a very dangerous game, especially when you play multiple ones in one night. So, and I was talking about 90s music. And I was like, one of my favorite songs, like hip-hop-wise from the 90s, is Ghetto Boys' Mind Playing Tricks on Me. It's probably one of my favorite songs.
That
of
was
all.
One of the songs. That's the 80s, by the way, but keep going.
Yeah, but yeah, 80s, 90s.
Late,
it's,
it was
it's late
80s, 80s five,
early 90s. So it still falls. It still holds true. And no one knew what that was.
Wow.
And I was just like, even my girl, who I had to teach her about that song, the song's a little depressing at times when you listen to it because they talk about a lot of like deep stuff in it. But I mean, it's my favorite song.
Oh, it's one of the greats.
It's one of the best hip hop songs ever written, in my opinion. But you know, they didn't know. They were just like, oh, I've never
well,
heard
I was
never
trying
heard
to figure out how Rexroad all of a sudden became like this encyclopedia on old school hip hop. Like, it's like the pandemic happened, and over the pandemic, he just became like a Pete Weber style expert on old school hip hop.
Yeah, I gained some trivia. Have you watched the Netflix
hip hop?
No, the Wu-Tang's I showed you. That was great too. But the Netflix has the hip hop history.
Oh, the hip hop evolution. Yeah,
hip hop
yeah,
evolution. Yeah,
hip hop evolution.
So
yeah.
I threw a couple nuggets out, but honestly, I was like 1983. And it was, you know, like breakdancing. Yeah. The movie Breakin' came out, like all that stuff. Like I was an early, you know, junkie.
Here's what we should do on this show, because we were making the show our own. So here's what we'll do every day, because I will give you both a song request every single day. Joe, you pick a song, and I want it to be old school hip hop.
Okay.
That's your category for this edition of Jeopardy. Robbie, yours is going to be country because I can never find a country song to play for Robbie because Robbie's like seems like a country music snob. Like, oh, I don't listen to Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan's a little too mainstream for
He's
me.
Exactly right.
Like, so I have to let him pick
country underground.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you know, I listen to Sturgill Simpson. You know, to be honest with you,
country music died in like the year 2009.
Yeah,
it's just yeah.
See, there you go.
I like Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah, Sturgill's good. Yeah. But, see, so I'm going to let you guys each show pick one song, every show to play as bump music, and then we'll educate each other because it's like, you know, there's country songs like I have no idea. Like they wanted to do a country power hour. I'm like, look, I'm not listening to 60 songs I've never heard of before. So no, thank you. Let's stick to like pop music from the 90s or something. Let's not do a country music power hour because it'll probably be 60 songs with 60 people that I probably never heard of. So let's just keep it simple here, people.
I like this idea, but I would also, I mean, because, you know, I can bring like some Steely Dan your way, too.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know, some of the 70s rock could kind of be, you know.
Especially with that hair he's got going now. I mean, look at it.
Yeah, you it's do true. Look like a 70s. Yeah.
Yeah, I look like I'm a bass player in the band Toto right now.
You actually do. That's good.
It's a good look. I like it.
Hold the line, Joe.
Wow, there we go.
Look at that.
You know a Toto song, and it's not Africa. Like, that's the song everybody knows.
Well, I do know Africa, too, but Hold the Line is probably a hot take here. Hold the Line is a lot better song than Africa. Ooh. Africa's cool. Africa's just played out, man.
You know what?
Hold the Line is...
Hold the Line's good.
Hold the Line's good, and Africa's played out, but that's one of those songs I can't get sick of. You know how there's just some songs you can't get sick of?
I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm just saying that if you were to tell me you can only listen to Africa or Hold the Line for your entire life, and then the other song you'll never hear again. I can be fine with not hearing Africa again because I've heard it for 30 years of my life now.
That's
and
fair.
I can hold. I can play Hold the Line because it's still a fresh song. Like when I hear it, it's like, oh, I forgot Toto had another song that's not Africa, and it's this song. So
Rosanna is also a good song. Anybody? Rosanna?
Yeah. That's good.
Okay, yeah.
So we got three. We got three Toto songs in this segment.
So we got three. But not to say the same for MLB because they Marlins don't have three games.
Nice segue.
That was a very good segue. See, that's why Munson's a pro. He goes off on vacation. He comes
thank
back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just immediately. I was right back in the game.
I was practicing on the beach. I was like, I was running through like a Toto montage, running shirtless, thinking about different plans for the show. That's what I was doing on my vacation. I wasn't smoking cigars and drinking whiskey and playing Power Hour. No, I was preparing for the show whole weekend.
He sure was. Well, speaking of the Miami Marlins, this happened while we were on the air yesterday. It was coming out that they had tested positive. I believe 14 people had tested positive for COVID-19, an outbreak with the Miami Marlins. And we knew they started canceling games right when our show was going off the air yesterday. The Marlins were supposed to host, I believe, the Baltimore Orioles, and then the Phillies were supposed to host the New York Yankees. Neither one of those games happened yesterday. How concerned are we by the outbreak this early on into the MLB season? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
That was Jeff Passan, MLB insider for ESPN, talking about the news of the day yesterday. The Miami Marlins, 12 players testing positive for COVID-19, two coaches, 14 in total positive tests for COVID-19. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, we heard this happening as we were kind of getting off the air yesterday. The news was continuing to come out about the test that the Miami Marlins had. And the first thing I thought about was, I mean, the season started Thursday. It started last Thursday, and here we are on Monday already dealing with something like this. Look, we've talked about kind of that bubble environment with the NBA and the NHL and how everything seems to be going really well. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. By the way, the NHL came out and said yesterday, zero positive tests from July 18th to July 25th, which is really, really good news, obviously. But it's different with the MLB. They're not in that bubble environment. They're traveling still. They're still on planes, still on hotels. They've taken some precautions to limit their exposure. But obviously, things like this can happen. And it's already happened 4 days into the season. That was the most concerning part to me is you figured it may happen at some point throughout the MLB season, but for it to happen this quickly, I think really raises a lot of eyebrows of kind of the long-term prognosis of this season is going to look like.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I will take the positive side of this. One, being this early, maybe this is – and I'm going to read from our – piece with Ken Rosenthal, Jason Stark, an executive. Here's a quote. I think if we can get through this, it will scare the bleep out of everyone. And I think there is something to that. Like, hey, guys, you can't mess around. The Marlins were incredibly stupid here. I mean, which is terrible. And shame on them. I mean, they knew, like, what, 2-3 guys knew they had it. And they're like, we're going, well, I mean, Don Manning's like, well, we never thought we wouldn't play. What? Really?
You not realize what's been going on, dude?
We're fine. I mean, they press forward, and now you have what we have. So this could have been avoided, and it's early, and you're right. It's like, man, if you can't get through the first week, then what's going to happen? But, I mean, maybe this ends up being – it's not good for the Marlins, and of course it's affecting other teams, but maybe this ends up being a little bit of a wake-up call on some things. And baseball's, look, the thing about baseball is it's constant games and then it's constant travel. It's not like any other sport, really, because we're comparing football and baseball because they're non-bubble sports, but there's a big difference in that. Now you go to this city, play 3 games against this team. Now you go to this city, they go in, Yankees come in, and now they're in the clubhouse you were in. It's there's nothing quite like this. So even though baseball is distance compared to football, it's actually more challenging in some ways. So, hey, hopefully they lock this down, trace it back, get it all taken care of, and people are more careful. And certainly, if you have something like this, don't play. I mean, you tell everyone, and you don't go out there and play and risk spreading it.
Yeah, and we're going to have Bob Nightingale from USA Today on at 8:30 to talk about this as well. And I'm glad you brought up, like, getting people's attention and that part of it, because – you know, we talked about yesterday the college football part of this in terms of maybe these college kids, they think they're invincible and all these things. I think there's a certain degree of that to everybody in professional sports. Everybody in professional, you know, that's a professional athlete, you're in great shape. You always feel like, hey, yeah, maybe that affects other people. It's not going to affect me. Well, I mean, Nationals, the Washington Nationals manager, Dave Martinez, yesterday, he's got a heart condition.
Yes.
He's like, man, this is scary. This is really scary. I've got a lot of guys in my clubhouse right now who are scared to death about this news coming out with the Miami Marlins. So I'm hoping that most teams in the MLB take that approach where it scares them, it's real, and they take the necessary precautions to try to avoid it the best they can. Look, with the way they're doing things right now, it's not going to be 100% avoidable. I get that. But there are precautions you can take. I hope that after this news comes out with the Miami Marlins, everybody in Major League Baseball takes it more seriously.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the bottom line is you have some positives coming out of this that you didn't have to have if you would have just said, okay, these guys are out, we're not playing, and we're going to try to figure this out. And maybe it's the same outcome, but you have to do that. I mean, you have to approach it that way. And yet, Dave Martinez is a great example. You know, Dusty Baker said something yesterday too. I mean, like he's at risk at his age, and he has some. So I mean, there's people other than these invincible professional athletes who are involved in this. You got employees at hotels, yeah. All this. I mean, you know, there's a lot to this. This is how a virus spreads, and no matter what you think about it, it's going to affect people. It's going to kill people. And it might derail this quickly, but hopefully this has a good impact on mindset and on behavior. I'm not convinced that that's going to stop this from happening over and over again.
And David Price, obviously locally, we're very aware of David Price, came out with a tweet yesterday that said, now we really get to see if MLB is going to put players' health first. Remember when Manfred said players' health was paramount? Part of the reason I'm at home right now is because players' health wasn't being put first. I can see that hasn't changed. So obviously some strong words there from David Price. And Rob Manfred spoke yesterday about this situation. And one of the things that stood out to me was he was talking about the protocols that they've put in place, but then went on to say that they've gone beyond the protocols by canceling games when this happens. And my first thought was, how have you gone beyond protocol? Like, is that not part of the protocol when something like this happens, that you would cancel the game? It's comments like that and just the way that he phrased that. Maybe he just misspoke. I don't know. But it's the way that those things keep getting tossed out there that makes me think David Price may have a point, and this has not been handled very well by Major League Baseball.
It's weird because Rob Manfred has been so impressive, you know, in so many ways as MLB commissioner.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So. Yeah, now, hey, at least he talked. I was like, when's the last time Rob Manfred said anything about anything? Yeah, exactly. How is that not automatically a very basic part of your protocol? I don't know. And David Price took a lot of crap for bailing out and, you know, talking about health, because people are like, well, you're a young athlete, who cares? But again, you have other people in your life who could be affected. And also, I mean, I keep seeing these studies in which there are some long-term effects of COVID that, you know, not death. You might be fine, but if lung capacity is impacted and you're a professional athlete, it's not as big a deal as a baseball player. But still, do you want to have permanent or long-term effects from something? I wouldn't.
I don't.
Yeah. So, you know, if we're just going to focus on death rate, then we can just scream at these people and say, just go out and play, you're going to be fine. But there's a lot more to it than that.
If I was Rob Manfred, just talk to Don Garber about how he handled MLS in his situation. Because I think we get into a point to where some of these commissioners, they feel high and mighty that they don't want to go seek advice from other people who are doing it correctly. And Commissioner Garber has had to deal with this. He's had to, you know, kick two teams out with Nashville SC and Dallas. So talk to him, see how he was managing it. And obviously it's different because MLS has a bubble, which MLB does not and didn't really push for a bubble to begin with. And just talk to him and see, like, hey, man, how did you deal with this? Because you have two teams that are not in your tournament, and yet ever since then, you guys have remained zero test and focused on just games since then. So how do I do that? And I think Rob Manfred's not, because he's just so stuck on this, you know, we're going to make it work because I want to be proven right. And it's just, dude, there's players' lives at stake in this, man. It's just, it's not even worth it, you know. And this is not me trying to cancel baseball, but it's not worth it to play, you know, 60 games to risk their lives all for you know, 14 players on one team to test positive. Like, that's a lot of players. Like, that's half, like, almost a whole roster of players. Imagine if an NBA team were to have that outbreak.
Yeah.
That's a whole NBA team gone. So it's just, Rob Manfred just needs to seek some advice. Same for Roger Goodell as well. They just need to seek advice and see, like, hey, how do we do this? Because all these other sports are doing it, and they're doing it well, and they've not had players test positive. How do we do that? And that's all they need to do, and hopefully they can get it figured out.
Yeah, but the answer is have a bubble, and they won't. And see, baseball had the Arizona plan, and I don't know. You know, they had a chance to do that.
And there's really only two places, like in baseball, especially if you're going to play outside, like it's going to be Arizona or Florida. Those are your two options, especially with how deep you're going into a season.
And both of those are.
And both of those right now
are pretty bad.
Not looking great.
Yeah, the virus is popping, right. But football couldn't. I just don't think football could have done.
Yeah, football. I don't think football can do
it. With the amount of people involved.
And baseball is a little different. Like for the NBA, you're in Orlando, but you've got like five courts in the same building. It's very difficult to find a complex for baseball that meets all of the requirements that MLB has, meets the lighting requirements that they have at nighttime. It's very difficult to find that.
It's
from
basically
a bubble stand.
That spring training.
That's it.
Place in Arizona. Yeah. So,
I also thought the same thing about MLS. Like, how are you going to find like multiple soccer fields in one area? And not to mention that you're sharing this with the NBA. So you have two leagues in one complex, and I'm pretty sure like the ESPN worldwide, you know, sports complex is not the biggest complex in the world.
No.
Like I'm pretty sure they can find a way to find somewhere else that's probably as equally or around the same complex as ESPN has, because you're playing two leagues in one complex, and neither one of these leagues are having players test positive.
Yeah. Well, now it's, I mean, you know, this is what they're doing, and it's either going to happen.
Yeah.
And they're going to.
I mean, the bubble conversation is probably too late for MLB at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's either like, this is a great wake-up call, and here we go, or it's just a sign of things to come. And I don't know. I don't know what it is, but 4 days in.
4 days. That's the thing. 4 days in, and we're already dealing. Now, hopefully, like you said, Joe, this is something that 4 days in, okay, this catches people's attention, and a month from now, we're not having these problems. But with the way this season is set up, just a hunch, I don't know, obviously, I have a feeling this won't be the last time we'll be talking about this with Major League Baseball. When we come back, what does the Miami Marlins outbreak mean for college football and the NFL? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson behind the glass. Spinning the hits. By the way, boys, got a text in on the text line from our earlier conversation about Toto. Also have tossed in there, I Won't Hold You Back and Georgie Porgy by Toto. So lots of Toto this morning.
See, now I definitely know Georgie Porgy. I Won't Hold You Back. I don't know about that.
Yeah, that one's not ringing a bell.
That's a little bit of a deeper cut. We're really getting deep into the Toto archives.
We are. And I have to look both of those songs up because I've never heard of those songs before. Look, can we just stick to Toto and hold the line? And
hold the line. That's it.
Hold the line on any more requests for Toto.
Oh, actually, 99. That's another Toto song.
See, look, he just immediately ignored you.
Well, I just Googled it, but I forgot about that. So 99, that's a decently popular song. Yeah, Georgie Porgy. Yeah, Africa, I think Rosanna Africa and Hold the Line is the triumvirate of Toto jams.
Triumvirate, and I love that word. That's nice. Way to go, Rextro. It's like you're a writer or something.
Ah, yes, wordsmith.
So we were talking last segment about the Miami Marlins and their outbreak and what effect it's going to have on the MLB season. I got to immediately thinking yesterday, Joe, about the NFL and college football because they're going to be in a very similar situation in terms of the way they have to operate. Not going to be in a bubble. There's just too many people to make a bubble work. I mean, an NFL team, you're talking players, coaches, trainers, equipment staff, front office staff. I mean, you're in the hundreds of people per team at that point. So a bubble is pretty much out of the realm of possibility at that point with the NFL. How concerning is what happened yesterday in Major League Baseball to you about the prospects of an NFL and a college football season?
It is concerning, and I think that there was obviously a lot of reaction and a lot of, okay, football, look at this, and then there's blowback to that, and you know the conversation that can be unbearable at times continues, but yeah, I think it's, again, you could look at it both ways. I could look at it as a positive and say, okay, look at this. This is how easily it can happen. So do what you can do to not let it happen. The problem is, I mean, how much control do you really have over this? I had a conversation, had a lot of conversation with a lot of ADs over the last few months, you know, local ADs. Phillip Hutchinson from Lipscomb had a, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said basically, like, this is like the ultimate trust exercise. And he's talking about, and really we were talking about college basketball and sort of the discussions they've already had, like, hey, you know, I mean, if this is going to happen, it's one of those things where we have to count on you to not put yourself in a bad position. And then the problem there is you can not put yourself in a bad position other than you had to go get paper towels and you got the virus. I mean, right. That's possible. So, like, there's a certain amount of control that no one has here because the virus is dictating things. So, non-bubble, I think all you can do is, you know, you've got to test, trace, be careful, lock it down, and I think you have to have as much in your plan as possible. The Titans have last I saw 20 plans that are approved. So the NFL teams are doing their own. It's not all uniform. But their plan has been approved. And I mean, it's kind of just, we'll see. But you've got a lot of people in camp and you're at the mercy of all of them going their separate ways at different times and coming back to you. I mean, the Vikings trainer got COVID.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just – so, like, the idea that we're not going to have these outbreaks, I think, is fantasy.
I think so, too. And, look, I'm still of the belief we're going to have an NFL season this year. I just think it's going to happen. It did get me wondering yesterday, though, like, what happens on a Thursday or a Friday if tests come out with, I don't know, the Green Bay Packers – and 15 or 20 players have tested positive for COVID-19. Like, what do you do as an organization at that point? Like, you can't really just go on the waiver wire and pick up 35 guys to add to your team. Like, what happens at that point?
I mean,
I guess you do.
I guess you have to.
But then, yeah, so, and then what does that mean for everyone else, you know? I mean, because obviously then you worry about the whole team. But I guess in the short term, you go, hey, look, there's other leagues that have played. There's people who can play professional football. Look, I'm old enough to remember 1987, and the NFL had three games with replacement players.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had the strike, and they had the scabs, and now those guys are out there. They'll play. There's a lot of guys who play college football. Actually, it was I think Washington had Tony Robinson, mm-hmm. the Vols, I think that's right, was their QB, who, of course, guy who was an unbelievable talent in college where he got hurt and everything. But, that, yeah, I think you're going to see people like that playing in some of these games. And then what if one of those guys is Aaron Rodgers? I mean, who the heck is their backup, by the way? Who is the Packers' backup?
Well, it's Jordan Love now, for God's sake.
Oh, that's right. They just drafted Jordan Love. There
it's
you go.
It's a very popular pick in Green Bay, by the way. They love
it. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, it's – and how – of course that's going to happen. And I agree with you. I mean, they're going to push forward, and they're going to have it. But I guess I'll be surprised if we end up with a final stand in the NFL that's 16 games across the board for every team.
Yeah. And what do you do at that point? Like, how do you determine the playoffs, the division winners? If one team's played, you know, 15 games, the other one's played 13, like that's a whole ball of wax. That if you're the NFL right now, if you're not thinking about that, like you're doing yourself a disservice. You have to be.
Yeah. No, I mean, you should be coming up with. I mean, I guess you go winning percentage, right? But yeah, you should lay that out for people because it really is. Realistic and thinking there's no chance of that is, to me, burying your head in the sand and just saying, no, be positive. No, I mean, you got to think of every possible. And that one is, that's on the lighter side of things that could go wrong.
The college football part of this discussion, and we got into this a little bit yesterday, if I'm ranking sports that I think, number one, are going to happen, but number two, certainly are going to be finished, college football, to me right now, is probably at the bottom of that list. I mean, you're just dealing with so many different factors at that point because you're in the NFL. I mean, you're a pro football player. This is your job. There's financial incentives involved. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that go into it at the NFL level. College football, I mean, let's say you're at an SEC school. The students come back. They're on campus. There's a ton of different things you're doing. You're going to class. I mean, you're going to the cafeteria to eat. You're going to work out in the facility. Like, you're going all over the place. You have a ton of different responsibilities and also a ton of different temptations that you have to deal with at an age where you're still developing and maturing. It just, to me, I see disaster coming for college football. I really do. And it pains me to say that because I told you yesterday, college football is one of my favorite things on this entire planet, and I'm pulling for it hard. But I am so nervous right now that we're not going to see college football at all. And if we do, it's going to be a very limited version of what we've gotten used to seeing.
If college football doesn't happen during this school year, the ramifications of that for college athletics are really serious.
Very bad.
And there's some places that, I mean, it would be I try to hold off on the big words like disaster and things like that because there are real disasters in life. But economically for that industry, and it's a huge industry, but there's also a lot of people who are tied to that, whose lives, employment, and even like you think about coaches for non-revenue sports and all the support people and all the – I mean, there's a lot to it. It's not – a lot of opportunities too for athletes who – you know, swimmers and run. I mean, it's a huge universe, and it would be jeopardized if there's not college football. I absolutely believe we will have college football in some form attempted during this school year. It's just, you know, the fall versus the spring. I'm kind of leaning more seeing the benefits of waiting till the spring. Although strictly on field, that stinks. In terms of, we talked about this yesterday, a lot of really excellent players who you're excited about seeing this year who aren't going to play. They're going to be getting ready for the draft. And frankly, there's a lot of guys, too, who, I mean, they might be a fourth, fifth round pick offensive lineman, but still, no, I'm going to go. I'm signing with an agent, and I'm getting ready for the draft. This is my dream. This is what I want to do. So it would be very disruptive, but you could potentially at least have college football games, and again, this is vaccine dependent, but with fans in the stands in the spring, and it'd be wild and crazy, but you'd still be able to financially recoup a decent amount, and having the fans, that would be more beneficial for these college towns than what we're going to see this fall if they push through, because there's not going to be a soul in those stadiums.
Yeah, and that's another difference between college football and the NFL. I mean, the NFL, even if they play with very limited fans or no fans at all, from a financial standpoint, I mean, they're still going to be okay. It's not going to be great, not going to be the same as it was, but they're still going to be in okay shape at that point. Fans in the stadium, especially, you know, SEC, that's a number one, a huge part of college football and like the pageantry, the environment anyway. But number two, I mean, you brought up Knoxville yesterday as an example. Think about how much economic impact a Saturday afternoon in the fall in Knoxville has with 100-something thousand people at Neyland Stadium, everybody coming around to bars and restaurants and everything surrounding the stadium. Not having that as a part of college football, that's a major loss for these programs.
Seven or eight of those a year, Starkville, yeah. Knoxville, Baton Rouge, whatever. I mean, go
and those
through.
Are the big boys.
Exactly. And again, it's like the NFL – for one, you got the TV deal. There are things that are locked in that are you're going to be fine if you play as a television product. And the NFL's in big cities. And, of course, does Nashville get economic impact from a Titans game? We have people every weekend who come here. But it's not the same as these college towns that don't have – you know, again, there's a difference between New York, L.A., Chicago, even Atlanta, Nashville, and some of these little college towns that are – really just built – I mean, I used to live in East Lansing, Michigan, built largely on these football weekends with 80,000, 100,000, whatever it is, in a stadium. And so, like that, the prioritizing that, again, I think more in terms of there's a case to be made for the spring. The problem, again, though, if you just decide to punt to the spring and then it doesn't work out, the vaccine isn't there. The virus is still – whatever it is, now what do you do? They know that they have to find a way to have football.
Yeah.
At
some
point during the week.
And they got to trust their players because, look, it's going to be the players' responsibilities to make sure that they do the right things to, you know, stay in that campus and you know, stay quarantined and all this stuff. And that's easier said than done because we even seen on the professional level, Lou Williams went to a strip club to go get chicken wings. Like, and he's a grown man and he left the bubble to go get chicken wings at a strip club. So it's you know, and that's a grown man doing that. So imagine if you're a college kid on a college campus with college students, it's a whole lot different temptation there. So you run the risk of having your guys like that. And do you trust your players enough to actually think they'll do the right thing to stay in a bubble so they can play college football? And so that's going to be the key factor is like a lot of these coaches are going to have to hone in on their players and be like, look, you can't be going to the strip in Tuscaloosa. You can't be going to these bars. You can't do any of these things that you did last year because it's a whole different time. And obviously you shouldn't be doing that anyway because, you know, half of these bars are packed for a reason. And it's because people are not following those rules. But, you know, it's just, you know, that's going to be their responsibility is to try to stay in and try to stay, you know, avoid the virus, which is hard to do. But it's something that is going to have to be done in order for us to get college football.
And they're treating them like employees, basically. Yeah. So and they're not employees. So this is kind of an also like, look at this system and God.
Yeah, it's crazy that we talk about like how much impact it has on the, you know, the city and how much impact does it have on the program and the other, you know, other programs like, you know, the small tennises and golfs and all that, all this stuff. I have all this responsibility as a college kid to withhold all this stuff. And yet I'm going to risk my health and not get paid for it. So
and one of the craziest parts of this is like the name, image and likeness conversation has been totally swept under the rug by all this. When in a normal year, that's all we'd be talking about right now. And it's yeah. just not even a conversation.
But, I mean, the NCAA, like, Mark Embert has done more arguing against that than figuring out how to make this work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good, and job, so, good job, NCAA.
So think about it next time you, you know, try to suspend a player for, you know, selling an autograph. Yeah. Like, think about that next time because it's like, yeah, he's risking his health, you know, to play football so you can have these nice buildings on the university and you can have these other small programs and for you to help your city out. Think about that next time you suspend a player for getting an autograph, you know, for $50. Like, come on now.
Amateurism. It matters. And, oh, wait, guys, we need you. We need the economy rolling.
When we come back, man, there was something that set off Joe Rexroad at the end of the show yesterday. We're going to try to set him off again. That's coming up next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe's very happy right now.
Little Beastie Boys deep cut there. Good,
very happy.
Good stuff. Paul's Boutique, the greatest Beastie Boys album. Even though I have a Check Your Head shirt on right now.
Yeah, I was about to say. You're misrepresenting yourself at the moment.
That's the second best BC Boys album.
Joe, we have breaking news from Adam Schefter of ESPN. Patriots three-time Super Bowl champion and Pro Bowler Dante Hightower is opting out of the 2020 season. League sources tell ESPN. Hightower is scheduled to make $8 million in base salary. He had a baby on July the 16th. So Dante Hightower opting out of the 2020 season. NFL season. Not going to be the last guy, I don't think.
No, and do you think we will see someone here do this today? A Tennessee Titan, perhaps?
I mean, the odds are somebody's going to do it here today. Yeah, I'm not sure that it's going to be, you know, a substantial number of players or even a prominent player, but the chances are one or two guys are going to opt out.
Yeah, I didn't realize four Patriots had already done this, so... Marcus Cannon, Danny Vitale, Najee Turan, and now a big one, a significant player, yeah. Dante Hightower.
It's probably the biggest name to so far opt out of the NFL season.
Oh, yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, you know, Patrick Mahomes had an offensive lineman, but, I mean, nobody really. I mean, no offense to offensive linemen, but, you right. know, this is one of the best defensive players on that team right. outside of, you know, Gilmore. So it's like, yeah, you lose Dante Hightower, that's a big deal. Pretty big.
Yep, and a Tennessean as well. But that's
an Alabamian as well.
That's right, a Nick Saban
prodigy.
Development of Nick Saban. Give Nick Saban all the credit. Yeah, that's significant. I can't imagine that's the last one, and I would guess having a baby would be part of that.
All right, so this leads an interesting question because Dante Hightower just had a baby, so this is why he's opting out. There's one more person who just had a baby, too. It's a big name. Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He just had a baby recently.
Derrick Henry just had a baby.
So we could see, could we see Russell Wilson or, you know, let's hope not Derrick Henry. But, I mean, another big-name player just be like, once it gets to a quarterback, I think it'll get – serious
yeah.
of like if a Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or someone like that, if they decide that they're done and they're going to opt out the season, I think it'd be a little different.
Oh, it'd be big. And I don't know. I guess I'd be surprised, but look, if people look at this differently, and I hate when people get, you know, ripped for this, like David Price got ripped. What, a 9-year-old girl just died of COVID. You know, it's not... It randomly hits people differently, and that's one thing. That's one of the many nuances we never talk about, but it is scary.
Yeah, as a fan of the Dodgers, like as much like watching these four games, like I want to see David Price out there
sure.
because that bullpen was awful, and it's been awful for these four games that we had against the Giants. But yet, like that wasn't even the thought process in my mind of like, man, this is all because of David Price. It's his fault we're 2-2 right now. Like, no, if he didn't want to play because of family safety, like, who am I as a fan to say, nah, you shouldn't think about your family. You should think about me. I'm trying to win a World Series here, sir. Like, no, it's not about me. It's not about the fans. It's about the family that you have for the rest of your life when all this is over. So, like, if he opts out because of that reason, like, who am I to tell him he can't? So
you're a very,
you know,
rational fan.
Yeah, I am. You know, if even if like people say, so what if LeBron James just said he was done and going back? I'm like, I wouldn't care. Because LeBron has three kids and a wife and a mother that he has to take care of. I don't care. If the Lakers win. They don't, they don't. Oh, well. No harm, no foul, whatever. But I just can't. Like, that's how much I care about my players. You want to show you're a real fan? If your player says, like, nah, he's opting out, don't be that fan that just, you know, oh, forget him then. We need to kick him off the team. We need to trade him then. You're not a real fan if you really have that thought process. Think about the player first.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be very nice. Nice change of pace in today's world if we started doing that a little bit. Joe, speaking of today's world, something really set you off yesterday at the end of the show. There's a narrative out there that sports media members are rooting for sports to fail. And that just set you off yesterday. And it's a narrative that continues to pop up on Twitter, all over social media, whatever the case may be. To me, it's a little bit asinine because, speaking of somebody who has lost a job in sports, I'm not really doing much for the NHL right now. Let me tell you, I'm rooting for things to get back to as normal as possible. I would imagine most people who work in sports, everyone who works in sports, probably feels the same way.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense.
I mean, yesterday it was the Kyle Brandt tweet, and it was like, I think he said, it seems like people are rooting for, and what he was reacting to was a lot of NFL reporters looking at the Marlins and saying, see NFL, which is a totally rational thing to do because it's a non-bubble situation and this is the challenge. And we don't have enough hours to dive into this and all the things about this that are bothersome to me, but it is so disgusting, honestly, to me, to think that anyone in this industry would be rooting against sports. If football doesn't happen, you know, there's a lot of people who are going to lose their jobs. A lot of people already have lost their jobs. Yeah. Some people close to me have lost their jobs. This is not something that people want to happen. So, but if you report on it and if you point out things that are a problem, and if you talk to people who are decision makers and write stories about it, now you're rooting for that. What are you're supposed to, what, cheerlead and say, no, guys, we just need sports. I don't care how many people are dying or whatever else is happening. We need sports, sports, sports. I mean, that's just, no, that's not doing your job. So I was very fired up yesterday, but overall it's depressing, and it goes along with a lot of other discussions and a lot around this virus too, of some people I know who are really smart and educated and somehow think things are happening in the world that are just ridiculous around this thing. It's a virus and we're all at its mercy to some extent. And, you know, I don't know anyone who has enjoyed life in the last few months. It's been terrible. And there's a lot of other things that people are affected beyond the virus. It affects the economy, which affects people in different ways. It's very bad for people, for mental health. I mean, all that stuff, all of it's serious and should be taken seriously. But how could you honestly think that someone who does this for a living would be rooting for the thing they do to go away?
It makes no sense.
It's stupid.
It's very stupid. And it's just, it goes back to what I said yesterday. A lot of times I think we'd be better off without Twitter. We just got to get off Twitter.
Yeah, but you're right. And Twitter is where it really gets amplified. But, you know, you can find it in places other than Twitter, too. But, yes, no doubt, Twitter is a cesspool, especially in the year 2020.
There's no question about it. When we come back, the NHL had some very, very good news yesterday regarding their bubble and what's going on up in Edmonton and Toronto. We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.